I have been told I'm not supposed to start to preach until my wife turns up. So we'll have to wait around. No. She's going to pick Samuel up from a birthday party. So we'll have to wait and see. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Acts 1. My word. Acts chapter 1. I've had this cold for, seems like weeks now, and I just can't seem to get rid of it. A bit below before we start. Nothing worse than the preacher sniffling all through the sermon, is it? Remember Marcia? She wasn't with us this morning. She got the flu. I was blamed for that this morning. My husband blamed me for coughing over the communion last week. As Christians, we're supposed to share. We're supposed to share. That's what the Word of God says. We're supposed to share. I didn't say we should share everything, but we should share. Okay, let's just read from verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptizes with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." For those who weren't here on Thursday afternoon, we talked a bit about Acts 19, one of my favourite New Testament chapters. And very much of Paul coming to Ephesus, finding 12 disciples weren't really doing a lot. And Paul laid hands upon them and they received the Holy Spirit. But verse 8 says, "But you shall receive." We all know that the next word is power. It says in Ephesians 1:13, "In him you also trusted after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." You were sealed is seen by some as referring to justification. Justification brings acceptance. Sealing brings authority. But you shall receive, you know, one word, power, but it means more than that. It means a lot more. You know, sometimes, you know, the Bible limits itself to what God was really saying. You know, God had said in John 14, 15 and 17, about the Holy Spirit coming, the Helper. Again, he had said that again in 14, 25 and 26. But he said in John 16, "It is for your advantage." He spoke, again, we were sharing this on Thursday. He said, "It is an advantage that I go away." God, when he said you will receive, he was talking about more. When he said that he was going to leave and he was going to send somebody out, he was talking about something greater was going to happen than the fact that Jesus was on earth. When we look at the fact that Jesus was there, we can't really think of anything greater. But God, Jesus said that it would be your advantage and benefit when I go away. When Jesus said, "But you shall receive power," there was more. He says, "I have come to give you abundant life," which is more and more and more. And he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, bringing justification, separating us from the world. That's what it means, that we are separated from the world, that we are accepted by Christ, that we are different to the world. Today, there are two sides. There is the church and there is the world. And today we have been accepted by Jesus. We are sons and daughters of the living God. And that brings benefits. That brings blessings. That brings whatever God has that we will receive. What is the word? A heritage, isn't it? We have a heritage, that we have something that we can receive from God. But you will receive power. But more than that, it says that we have been given authority. authority over sickness. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to accept. I go back to that. Our sister Frida Sawata from Uganda saying that they have authority over sickness. We have authority over demons. We have authority over principality and strongholds which are holding our families and our nation. But the word of God says we have the authority. Jesus said, all authority I give to you. Go into the world. But you shall receive power. You know, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, for those who say that the Spirit passed away with the disciples, that the gifts passed away with the disciples, or the gifts were for another time, that's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. That is heresy. Where in the Word of God does it say that they will pass away? Where in the Word of God will it say there is a time comes when we won't need them? It does say in the Word that when we die in heaven, we won't need the Spirit. We won't need the gifts of the Spirit. But we need the authority and we need the acceptance today of Christ. It brings us that we are Christ's own, that we have a seal, a stamp that says that we are Christ's, that we're nobody else's. And it sets us apart. It means we're different. I don't know about you, but we look in today's society and we see people who stand out and they're different. They are different. But so are we. So are we. We are supposed to be different to the world. If we're not different to the world, what's the point? But the Holy Spirit brings us the difference. There is a change in us. There is a change in us. And we need the authority. And tonight there is a free invitation to receive the Holy Spirit. There is a free invitation to be filled to overflowing. John 7:37 to 38 says this. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. What was God saying? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. There was an invitation given by Jesus to all who thirst after him. The Holy Spirit who will satisfy your every need. Isn't it? It will satisfy your every need. Because out of your heart will come living water. You know, the Holy Spirit is not for a select few, but for all who believe. What does it say in Acts? Where is it? 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. All. There was no one. There was no believer anywhere else. They were all in that upper room. Every single Christian that was in that upper room. Obviously, 120 of them, wasn't it? In that upper room. None were stray. They were all invited. They were all invited. And they were all filled. That's what it says, wasn't it? It says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Each of them. I want to say, right, there are 3 points in the Bible that I think are quite interesting. The first one is, let me have a look. Mark 1:9-11. Jesus' baptism. Right? Jesus' baptism. Jesus was, 30 when he came to this time at the River of Jordan. 30. What in the Word of God, I mustn't go from there, must I? What in the Word of God says about Jesus before he was 30. What does it say about him? Hardly anything. How many paragraphs do we really know? You know, there are many stories. I expect you've heard of the stories of when Jesus was young. I don't know if you've heard this, that he picked up some mud and he shaped it into a bird, and a bird supposed to flew off. It's not in the Word of God, so we don't know if that's true. There was nothing. There was nothing about Jesus. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That is the start of Jesus' ministry. That is when he went into the wilderness, was tempted with the devil, dealt with the devil. He went and performed miracles, turned water into wine. He healed people. He delivered people. He rose people from the dead. He fed 5,000 people. Do you want me to go on? He told people to follow him, people who never knew him. And they got up and left everything for him. Left everything for him. This is what happened when people are filled with the Spirit of God. There is a second part that we go to. Beginning of Acts, the church. We heard Roy Brock saying last week about the disciples being disillusioned. They went back to doing their own thing. They thought that was the end of it. You know, I find interesting in our reading, it says, by ear, isn't it? Verse 6, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" What they were saying was, are you still going to deal with the Romans? Are you still going to overturn the Romans? Are you still going to deliver Israel from the Jewish nation, from the Roman Empire and all its enemies? And God was saying, hold on a minute, you still hasn't grasped what I was saying. Somebody else is going to come, someone who's going to help you. The church, it was in a mess, it was scattered, they were disillusioned. What happens? We read it. On the day of Pentecost, they were told, meet together, meet in the upper room, something's going to happen. Yeah, Jesus said, you will receive power, but he meant more than that. He meant more than that. He said, you're going to receive something that is going to change the world. Because that's what he'd done. The Holy Spirit came and people were never the same. Said it on Thursday. Peter was the reed back and forth. On the day of Pentecost, that prophecy came true when Jesus said, upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church. And that's what happened on that day. How many people got saved? How many? Even in Jesus' own ministry, 3,000 didn't get saved. They followed him. But they weren't born again, Spirit-filled. They weren't passionate about God. They didn't have a zeal for him. That was the second. Thirdly, like I say again, going back to chapter 19 of Acts, Peter on his journey came to Ephesus, a great city. He found 12 disciples. He said to them, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, well, we haven't even heard there's a Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He laid hands on them. And what happened? They spoke with boldness. They went into the temple, reasoning with people, telling people about Jesus. They were different. They were different. The Holy Spirit has come to make us different, to empower us, to give us authority, to stand out from the rest, even to stand out from other denominations. Says in the last days, people will be deceived. The elect, it says, will be deceived. Those who we have to use wisdom when we use the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Of course we do. And we have to apologize. There have been times when people have not been wise in their handling of the Holy Spirit. But there is no need to deny the workings of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We are to live by the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. If Jesus is our example, if Jesus is the one we hold up and say, I want to be like God, we start where Jesus started, in baptism. In baptism. Baptism in water. Baptism in the Spirit of God. You know, Cyril mentioned that we're on a journey. Of course we're on a journey. And on that journey, we need that God. Jesus isn't with us anymore. But we can know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We can know it. We can know God inside us. What a concept. What a concept. What other religion says that? What other? What other religion says that they can raise people from the dead? What other can say that people can be healed? The blind can see and the deaf can hear. The lepers. You know, leprosy, and I believe is still around today, one of the greatest sicknesses of the time. Yet Jesus touched the unclean and they were healed. Weren't they? That leprosy fell from them. And that is a God who was filled with the Spirit. That was a God, that was Jesus who relied upon the Spirit. You know, we take some of these miracles, some of these incredible stories lightly. Imagine turning vast vats of water into wine. I want just any wine, it was the best wine. Lazarus, who was dead. Jesus said, you know, release him from his death clothes. And he came to life. The centurion's daughter, who was dead. He didn't even touch her. He said, your daughter's not dead. She's just sleeping. And this was a God who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there was the likes of Peter, who said once Jesus had been, who said to Jesus, he said, you're not going to die for me. Didn't he? Who said, you know, who denied God 3 times, yet on the day of Pentecost was changed like that. Changed like that. He became a rock. He became a rock. He wasn't a reed anymore. He was different. He was different. He was different. Says this in is that a drink under you? It says in 1 Corinthians 12:7-11, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. The Spirit was given so that we would profit from it. That it was given for a reason. Not that we could have a Spirit-filled, well, I don't know what, blast, injection, whatever you want to call it. But it was given for the profit of the church. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. They're there to profit. They're there for a reason. For when people need a sick. You know, in those days they never had hospitals. They never had doctors and nurses. But they could go to a God who could heal. They went to a man who could heal, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. The gifts are given to help us on our journey. Isn't that right? On our journey. There is a reason. They were given to help us on our journey. But the God of abundance wants to give us more. He wants to give us, again, the fruits of the Spirit. These are the abiding evidence of the working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, if we are filled, if we are flowing and living in the Spirit, it says in the Word of God, the Spirit gives life, the law kills. Doesn't it? The Spirit gives life. And if we are saying we are alive, We need to be filled with that Holy Spirit. We need to be showing the fruits of the Spirit, which shows the Spirit changing us into the likeness and nature of Jesus. The Spirit will change us. Oh, and how much we need to be like Jesus. How much we need people to look at us and see Jesus, isn't it? And this testimony in our lives is very important. If we are saying tonight we are Christians, if we are saying that we belong to Christ, our journey is the fact that we are pushing to be like him, that we are pushing to do things like him. We looked at it. Jesus is compassionate. We need to be compassionate. Jesus is loving. We need to be loving. Jesus was full of power. We need to be full of power and authority. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. God was love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. These are the things that we should be perspecting out of our lives, showing out of our lives. These are the things which are not in the world. There's no love in the world today. There's no joy in the world today. There's no peace in the world today. There's no kindness, no goodness, no faithfulness. Faithfulness is a word, isn't it? How many marriages do we see these days falling apart? Even where I work, some of the things that are going on. Husbands and wives are not faithful to themselves anymore, are they? There's no gentleness. There's no self-control. The Spirit is opposite to the world. And we are to be opposite. Jesus was opposite. That's what people liked about him. That's what they saw about him. You know, we look today and we see people who are different and we don't like it. I like people who are different. I'm attracted to people who are different. I think I've got a ministry for people who are different. But they stand out. They're like a sore thumb. They stand out. And we're to stand out. Moira was saying to me, this morning we were talking, she went to Swansea yesterday. She said there was an old lady in Swansea giving out a testimony. She stood out from the crowd. She was different, telling people about Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, when I talk to people in work and they say, oh, I used to work with so-and-so. Oh, and you used to be so different from everybody. You used to stand out like a sore thumb. Yeah, and that's what we're supposed to be, different. Different to the world. We should, when people look at us, see love in us. They should see joy in us. They should see peace in us. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. The more we are filled, the more we are walking in the Spirit of God, the more these things will be seen in our lives. You know, we're on a journey. The Holy Spirit plants the seed of his fruit in our lives. It's planted in our lives. And it's up to us to respond to him and open ourselves more and more to his holy influence so that we become more and more like Jesus in our actions and in our attitudes. Sometimes our actions and our attitudes let us down badly. But we need to be filled with that, filled with his Spirit, so that we are more and more Christ-like. You know, I find these stories of what Jesus done so uplifting, so blessing. I read the stories of what the apostles done and the early church done, and I find that uplifting and a blessing. And I think to myself, oh Lord, I would love these. They walked past, they shadowed, touched the sick, and they were healed. The shadows, they didn't even touch them with their hands. They didn't even speak a word, and they were healed. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow, these are stories that are so... These are accounts of what the church done. Oh, friends, if we went out and told people about Jesus and 3,000 people were saved. Well, isn't that what we want? Don't we want to be like Jesus? I don't know sometimes about you, I see my sinful nature and I get sick of it. And I want to be more and more and more like Jesus every day. And Jesus, he was filled. What did he say? He went down to the Jordan, didn't he? And there was John the Baptist. And he tried to stop him being baptized. If you read it, he said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not worthy. But Jesus knew. He knew that he had to be baptized. He knew that this had to happen. Because if it didn't happen, nothing would have happened. And he said to John, he said, you've got to baptize me. I can imagine Jesus being quite forceful, saying, well, no, this is my destiny. I'm not missing out on this. This is what I want. I understand. You know, we need to understand sometimes. We need to understand what God is saying to us. You know, he said in John 20, 22 to his disciples, to the apostles, he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, wait until something happens. Wait in that upper room. He knew the importance. And I think, you know, he spoke, didn't he, of many times. He said, well, I'm going away, but don't worry. Someone is going to come. The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead is going to come. Don't worry. You're going to be all right. But you've got to receive it. You've got to be open. You've got to thirst and hunger after it. You've got to desire it. And when you do, it will change you. Oh, my little boy didn't like that. It will change you. It will change you. And sometimes, my friend, we don't like that. We don't like that. We're a bit reticent. We're thinking, oh, I don't really want to be changed. I'm happy the way I am. Well, if we're to go on in this great journey, if we're to touch people's lives, if we're to point people to Jesus, if we're, when people need something, they come to us, oh, and I need this, I need that. If we are to make a difference, we need to be filled daily. We need to open up to him. And let him deal with our lives. Deal with the rubbish in our lives. Because most we take on such rubbish in our lives. But God has come to make us whole. Body, soul and spirit. To fill us. To fill us. So that when we go on that journey, we will go with joy. We will go with peace. With goodness. With faithfulness. With gentleness. And with self-control. And people will look at us and they say, hey. He's a Christian. I love that story of Jason Robinson when he was at, I think it was Wigan Rugby League side. And he said there was a guy that turned up one day and big, big strapping fella. And he said, I watched him. He said, I watched him over months and months and months. And he said, he stood out from everybody else. He said, there was something about him. He said, I had money, I had everything. But I wanted what this guy had. And it was Twigamala, this big, massive guy, New Zealander. And he was a born-again Christian. And some of the boys were telling me in work this week, Samuel loves wrestling. Absolutely adores wrestling. I know many of you have seen it. I remember when I used to watch Mick McManus and Big Daddy. It's not like that anymore, I can tell you. And Samuel likes to watch the rest. And there's a guy on there, and I can't remember his name. And the boys were telling me, in work, he said, oh, he used to be an absolute waster, terrible. He was into everything. He said, and one day, he changed like that. He said, because he married a woman who was a born-again Christian. And through her life, he changed because she was different. And people, when they meet you, when they are with you on a long period of time, they will see something in your life that they will want. Because people are searching. They are searching for something different. And that is us. But we need help to be different because we can't do it on our own. Jesus knew that. He couldn't go on his ministry on his own. He needed help. He needed help and we need help. We need God. We need God. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a supernatural force. You listen to the Jehovah Witnesses. Today, they say the Holy Spirit is the force. Like how many of you watch Star Wars? The force is with you. The force is strong. It's rubbish. The Holy Spirit is God. It's God. It's not some supernatural force. It's God in us, dwelling in us, empowering us. Jesus said, when the helper comes, he will show you the way. He will help you. He will counsel you. He will empower you. He will give you authority. That is all God. The Holy Spirit manifests God. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity. And God is saying that he wants to fill his temples. Because we are the temple of God. The temple of God does not exist in Israel today. It's not there anymore. In fact, there's a mosque on top of where it was. Today, we are the temples of God. And he wants to come and inhabit his temples. Amen? Makes sense. He wants to come and inhabit his temples. That is our God today. He wants to fill us and fill us and fill us and change us. That we may know love in our lives. Because we all want, you know, there's nothing nicer and whatever you want to call it, when someone says they love you. He wants to put joy in our lives. I wasn't very joyful yesterday. My side only drew 2-2, so I wasn't very joyful yesterday. He wants to give us peace, a peace which passes all understanding, a peace that the world is looking for. We live in a world where there isn't peace. He wants to put kindness in us, goodness in us, faithfulness in us, gentleness in us, self-control. Oh, if there's one thing I fall way, way down is self-control. As William says, we've got terrible tempers. And you know, I need self-control. You know, of when I'm tired and, you know, when my children irritate me and, you know, self-control. And we need these things. And God has says that he will come and he will fill us. And it's not for a select few. It's for every single person here tonight. He doesn't want to leave anyone out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Even the little children, he doesn't want to leave. But he wants to fill us all. And there is an invitation tonight to come and receive. Come and be filled. Come and just open up to God. You know. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Has he? He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. But of a sound mind.